The use of anti-personnel mines has dramatically increased in recent decades, a leading expert on the munitions said on Tuesday, amid concerns about the high number of civilian casualties in conflict zones, including Afghanistan. In an interview with UN News, Amelie Scheyer from UN partner organization, the International Campaign to Ban Landmines, insisted that the international community is taking the issue of demining seriously by making near-record levels of investment to make communities safe.
So the treaty that bans anti-personnel mines is definitely a successful treaty. The use of anti-personnel mines has dramatically decreased in the last decades, so that's good news.
But we've got high number of casualties.
Yes.
Not the highest, exactly. But the highest was in 2016, but they're still high, 2,800 deaths.
It was higher before the mine ban treaty. So the treaty came and it imposed this norm that it's no longer acceptable to use anti-personnel mines. So that's good. The casualties used to be up to 20,000 per year. Now we are down to 7,200 last year. So it's still 7,200 people too many, but it's still less than before the treaty. We are going to work hard, and we have many partner organizations that are going to work hard until we get to zero casualty, of course.
Where is the biggest burden of landmine casualties at the moment?
Right, so the most casualties last year were in Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, and Ukraine. We know that there are many more casualties in other countries that go unreported, so our figures are always on the basis of the information that we are able to gather.
And let's just drill down into Iraq. You noted that ISIL, the extremists, had planted a lot of landmines ahead of the attack on Mosul. What happens now? Because how do you get access to these places? How do you get the clearance operations going?
So one way of reducing the casualties of people who are returning after displacement is called mine risk education. So you have to talk to every single person, every single family, and explain the threat posed by explosives. Explain where the explosives might be found. Explain that you must not touch them. Explain that you must report them to authorities. So this is long, painstaking work, but it's very worth it. There are lots of specialized organizations that will go and carry that work out in Iraq. This costs a lot of money. Demining costs a lot of money. But what we have seen is a great influx of money into Iraq, coming in particular from the United States and Germany, for instance.
So yes, you've had a high amount of support. In 2017, international donors contributed nearly $675 million for mine action. That's one of the highest amounts so far, which I guess is good news. But I guess there's still a huge amount of work to be done in places, including Vietnam, which is a non-signatory to the mine convention.
Absolutely, and it's great that you mentioned Vietnam because it comes in contrast with Syria and Iraq. What we see in Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, is mines that have been in place some 50 years ago, and they still are a daily threat to the lives of civilian people. So the work of demining must happen in places like Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, where there's and Yemen, for instance, where there's acute conflict. But the work of demining must also continue in places like Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia, where mines have been in the ground for 50 years on.
But if they're a non-signatory to the landmine treaty, what is the pressure that can be brought to bear? How are you going to convince them to sign?
Right, so there are different types of arguments that will ultimately, we believe, manage to convince all states to join the convention. When it comes to Vietnam, well, most of the neighboring countries are on board the convention. Vietnam would be in a position to possibly receive more support for demining and for assistance to victims if it was part of the convention. So we have this ongoing dialogue with the government in the region. We're also even having ongoing dialogue with the authorities in Myanmar, for instance, because we believe it's important to talk to everybody, even the users of landmines.
Myanmar, you identified as using landmines, the only state party last year to do so in Kachin State. So that's not where the recent problems were in Rakhine State, but you have identified that they were used in Kachin State. Do you know why? Can you give us some context?
So maybe I can talk a little bit about the Rohingya people fleeing Myanmar. This happened in August and September of 2017, and our report that you're referring to covers from October. So this is why the crisis related to the fleeing of the Rohingya people is not covered in this report, but it was covered last year. When it comes to using Kachin State, actually what I would like to highlight is that the army of Myanmar has been using anti-personnel mines on an ongoing basis for the last 20 years. And they are the only army in the whole world that keeps doing so and that has been doing so on a regular basis in the last 20 years. So if last year it was Kachin State, another year it was another state, most of the states in Myanmar are contaminated with anti-personnel mines that have
including Rakhine.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Let's just move to non-state actors, because the Land Mine and Cluster Munition Monitor, which tells us where we are with the use of landmines around the world and progress in dealing with them, also identified that non-state actors in places like Colombia were also using landmines, perhaps increasingly. Why is that?
So in Colombia, the use of improvised explosive devices has not necessarily increased. There's been the peace agreement between the FARC and the government, but what we have seen in Colombia is that some small reminders of factions of FARC are still using improvised explosive devices, and some criminal groups related to drug trafficking, for instance, are still using improvised explosive devices. So that's what we see in Colombia. You have mentioned other places where non-state armed groups continue to use improvised landmines, and this is places like Afghanistan and Yemen, where the Houthi are producing landmines on almost an industrial scale. But there are also places that we hear less about, for instance, non-state armed groups in India or Pakistan or Boko Haram in Nigeria do use improvised mines.
And one bit of good news, finally, the mine ban treaty is gaining increasing support. Which is the latest state to have signed, or states?
There were two states that have joined in recently, and that was Sri Lanka and the state of Palestine.
And Mauritania also has some good news.
Mauritania has completed landmine clearance on its territory. So each year we have one or two states that manage to complete landmine clearance, and this is always very good news.